and now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
We'll be thinking together on how to bring out the best in your friend. From the Old Testament, Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now that's a truth that's age old. Just as true today as it was when Solomon gave it centuries ago. As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Friends are those people that just help us to make life meaningful and worthwhile. I hate to think of what life would be without friends. And a person who has friends, as Solomon says, must show himself friendly. And a person who has friends must want to bring out the very best in those friends. Every one of us in this audience today would say that we are what we are because of the impact that our friends have had upon us in part. Notice with me from the Bible a man who truly was a great friend. That man is Barnabas. In Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37, read earlier, we find the first mention of Barnabas by name. He was one of those of that early group that made up the first congregation of the Lord's people. Throughout his life, he always responded as a friend. His name was Joseph, but he was surnamed by the apostles as Barnabas. And that's the name that we usually find him referred to at other times. Of the 30 times in the Bible that this man is identified by name, only one other time is he referred to other than Barnabas. And that name Barnabas means, he was a Levite, but that name means that he was a son of encouragement or of consolation. Barnabas then was a source of encouragement, and that's what a friend is. A friend is one that when you're down and out, or when you're at your lowest point in life, is going to try to lift you up or raise you up. A friend is one who will encourage you. And oh, how desperately we need encouragement all along our life. I don't think there's a single one of us, but what needs encouragement time after time. In Acts 28, verse 15, when Paul was going to Rome, making that long journey, just before he got to Rome, about 40 miles away, that verse tells us that brethren, when they heard of him, they came as far as Apiphorum and the three taverns, two little villages or communities. They came that distance from Rome, about 35 or 40 miles, to meet him. And when he saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Paul needed courage. All of us need it from time to time. In Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's some times when the burdens and the weights of life are so heavy that it seems we cannot bear them alone. We need the support and the strength that friends give us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The Bible says that we're to take God's Word, we're to use it to bring comfort to multitudes of people. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 6, "Nevertheless, God that comforts those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus." God comforts those who are cast down. And since God does this for us, then God expects us to do this for other people. Barnabas' name meant encouragement. And I hope that all of us, regardless of our names, regardless of what those names mean, if we delve into the meaning of them, I trust that the attitude of our life will be encouragement, to encourage every person that we possibly can to a better way of life. And then Barnabas not only was one who encouraged and strengthened others, but Barnabas supported the church financially. In Acts 4:37, it said concerning this man, Barnabas, having land, sold it, and came and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I don't know how much land he had, but having land, sold it, and brought the money and presented it to the apostles that it might be used in the Lord's cause and the Lord's work. Someone might look at this and say, well, isn't this an unusual thing for Barnabas to do? Now, keep in mind that Barnabas was a Levite and that Barnabas had become a Christian. He had become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the tribe of Levi in the Old Testament was forbidden by law to own property or land like the other tribes. And maybe Barnabas, even when he becomes a Christian, is thinking in terms that he wants to be generous in that sense. Whatever the reason, Barnabas was one who was generous and liberal in a financial way to the church. While God has never in the Scripture commanded this sort of communal lifestyle practiced by the Jerusalem church, you remember in that early church in Jerusalem, no one spoke of anything as belonging to himself, but they had all things in common. Now, that was an unusual circumstance. Folks had come from various nations to Jerusalem to observe Pentecost. They had been converted after they arrived there. They were so thrilled and excited with the fact that they were now Christians, followers of the Lord. They had not brought a lot of provision with them. And so it was necessary for those locally in Jerusalem to minister to their needs. I know the situation was unique and I know it was different, and that the Lord doesn't command today that a person divest himself of everything as those folks did. But Barnabas was a man who was generous and liberal and financially supported the church. He was an outstanding individual in so many respects, in so many ways. Secondly, Barnabas was a friend of Paul. Probably Barnabas is best known by Christians because of his association with Paul. Barnabas was one of those first Christians willing to associate with Saul following his conversion, because Barnabas recognized the possibility in Paul. In Acts 9:26-27, after Saul had been converted, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, He attempted to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and said to them that Paul had seen the Lord in the way and that he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Barnabas was a person that went to bat for Paul. When he came to Jerusalem and he wanted to be a part of God's family at that place, they were afraid of him. This was a person that had been persecuting the church. Now he claims that he's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They thought he's just trying to do this to infiltrate, to find out who those are who are Christians in order that he might persecute them. They were afraid of him. And it took Barnabas to say, no, Paul has been converted. He truly is now a Christian. He's been even preaching bold in the name of Jesus in Damascus. And when a person of Barnabas' caliber gave that kind of presentation to the apostles, then Paul was received into the fellowship of that body of Christians. Barnabas recognized the possibility in Paul. And those of us who have friends must recognize the possibility in these friends. Others were saying it's impossible for Saul to be converted. It's impossible for a man like that to change. How many people are there with the idea, once a thief, always? Once a person's bad, he always is. Maybe the reason we in the church have failed to reach some of the people that need to be reached is that we have not believed in the possibilities within them. Barnabas did. And Barnabas gave Paul the opportunity to use his gift. Everybody has a gift or gifts from God. 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. As we are many members in the one body, having many abilities, then we're to use those abilities. But as Paul said, every member of the body of Christ has opportunities and has abilities, and he must capitalize and make use of those. Barnabas gave Paul the opportunity to use his gift. In Acts 11, 25-26, while Barnabas was serving the church at Antioch, Barnabas saw a need for Paul. And so he departed to Tarsus for to seek Paul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and for a year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Barnabas needed a co-worker, and he went to Tarsus and found Paul or Saul and brought him to Antioch and associated with him there for that entire period of time, and they taught people, and at that congregation the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Thus, Barnabas gave Paul the opportunity to use his gift. I don't know what would have occurred. I know that Paul was a chosen vessel. I know that he was used mightily of God. But it took someone like this man named Barnabas to get God's people to even accept Saul, to give him an opportunity. And then later on, he gave him an opportunity to use his gift by working with him. He helped Paul to perfect his ministry. Thank God for a man like Barnabas. And then lastly, and finally, Barnabas was a friend of Mark. Not only a friend of John Mark, but he was also his uncle in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. Mark traveled with Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey, but damaged his testimony when he quit and returned home in Acts 13:13. We don't know why Mark left. All kinds of views have been suggested, that he might have gotten homesick. Maybe the first time that he was away from familiar surroundings or whatever. But whatever the reason may have been, he didn't continue the journey with them. And because of it, Barnabas showed that he was a friend of Mark, but because he gave him a second chance. He didn't just wipe him off because of what he had done on that first trip, because he quit. But Barnabas gave him a second chance because Barnabas believed in the God of the second chance. Moses failed to protect Israel in Egypt, but later he led Israel out of Egypt. Samson failed God, but was used in his dying hour to accomplish more than probably he ever accomplished in all of his life. David failed God with Bathsheba. He committed the sin of adultery and murder. Tried to cover the sin of adultery with murder, but later God used him in a mighty way. And the Scripture refers to him as being a friend of God, or being one that was close to God, or a man after God's own heart in a marvelous and a wonderful way. Jonah rebelled, but was later used of God to bring revival to Nineveh. And so Scripture tells us of many, many people who failed maybe several times in their life, and yet God gave them additional opportunity. And Barnabas believed in the God of the second chance. He believed that John Mark could be different from what he had been. And so he gave a helping hand to him in Acts 15:39-40, when Barnabas wanted to take John on another journey. Paul didn't want to, and the contention was so sharp that they separated one from another, and Paul took Silas and Barnabas took Mark. Two teams. But these two teams came about because of contention between Paul and between Barnabas. But later on, of course, Paul recognized and realized that Mark was useful for the ministry and helpful for the ministry. Barnabas was a person who showed his friendship by giving opportunity. And that by believing in people, by giving them that second opportunity, that second chance, and that's what a friend always does. He doesn't get upset and throw in the sponge and quit because somebody disappoints him. He believes in possibilities in person. He believes that things can be different, and he encourages in that direction. And he supports not only with his words, but also in a financial way, as Barnabas did. George Eliot, the great writer, wrote, "Friendship is the inexpressible comfort of feeling safe with a person without having neither to weigh thoughts or measure words." I think that says it clearly. Friendship is that inexpressible comfort that you just don't have to, you can't maybe put in words, but it's the comfort you have in being in the presence of someone and feeling safe, that you do not have to weigh your thoughts or measure your words. You don't have to be all so particular about what you say or just how you say it. But friendship is that which you feel safe around you. and you don't feel that you're going to have to weigh every thought you think or every word you say, because friends care for one another. And they're not going to wear that proverbial chip on their shoulder, just waiting and daring someone to knock it off. But friends are those that love one another, and those who try to bring out the best in each other, encourage one another, and help each other to use the gift that God has given them in the very best way possible. Friends bring out the best in us. And whatever we are, we are indebted to our friends, because life would not be what it is without the encouragement, without the support that our friends have given us in oh so many ways. Maybe it's just little, in any number of little ways that show that we care, that show we're concerned, that show that we're interested. But this is what friendship is. If you're not a Christian today, we would urge you to become one. To surrender your life to Jesus, who is the greatest friend that a person could ever know. Obey the gospel by believing in Jesus, the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing His name, and being baptized